Hi, it's Jamie Smart here with another edition of the NLP Monthly Mastery Series. And this month I'm speaking with a good friend of mine, Michael Watson. Michael's an experienced NLP trainer and a superb Ericksonian hypnotist. And the list of people he's trained with reads like a veritable who's who of the world of personal development over the past 30 years. One of the things that's very interesting about Michael is that he has a hypnotherapy practice and sees many clients each year on a one-to-one basis, something he's been doing for the last 27 years. So welcome, Michael.
Hi.
And where I'd like to start is to ask, what first sparked your interest in NLP and hypnosis?
Well, gosh, it was a long time ago, Jamie, that back in the 70s, I believe, certainly in the 70s, I was working in Chicago for the Diocesan Counseling Center. I was involved in the church back in those days. And while I was working for the Counseling Center, the sort of current trend in counseling psychotherapy was utilization of guided imagery processes and things like that. So I was doing all these interesting things with creative visualization and getting quite involved with it. Pardon me. And somewhere along the line, after I'd been into that for a few years, I ran across an advertisement for a hypnosis certification training. And when I read this advertisement, it hadn't occurred to me previous to that there was any relationship between what I was doing in the field of hypnotherapy. So I was absolutely intrigued, and I thought we might as well make this official. So so I went out and got myself trained and certified in hypnosis. And it was really a short course. It wasn't very thorough at all. Didn't have any of the great bells and whistles that we've come to discover later on. But what it did have was a teacher who was currently enrolled in a very early NLP practitioner training. And she started telling us some of the things that she was learning about NLP and spoon-feeding it to us, week after week. And I was taking those principles, went out and got the great books, the ones that everybody knows, like Frogs into Princes and Reframing and, and all those original things and Transformations. And I was fascinated with what I was finding there. Consequently, I gathered up all of my stuff and moved as quickly as I could to Colorado, where the Andreases were, because they were the ones who had edited and put those books out at the time. And so took my first NLP practitioner training from them back in the very beginning of the 80s and really early on in the development of NLP.
So, I mean, what motivated you to up sticks and move? Did you actually move to Colorado?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so to move to Colorado, because, I'm imagining you, wow, this NLP is really great. I'm really enjoying this book. I'm going to move to a different city, a different state, that I can study this stuff.
Sure. It gets better because when I saw about this hypnosis certification course, what I forgot to tell you about, I was in Chicago. The hypnosis training was in Houston. So first I moved to Houston and took the training in Houston and was there for about a year and a half. And moved from Houston to Denver, and at the end of my NLP practitioner training, Robert Diltz had come out to do the testing weekend, the final part of the practitioner training that I had taken there, and I was so impressed with him that I did a master practitioner training in Colorado as well. But then I gathered up all my stuff and moved again to California so that I could do a residential master track with Robert Diltz and settled out there for 10 years after that.
And this is one of the things I've seen with a lot of the people who are really, really good at this stuff. They didn't just do one practitioner and one master practitioner. They've actually repeated the training with as many people as they could get to hold still, whether it's doing practitioners or doing weekend trainings or whatever. It's about getting as many different perspectives on this stuff.
Exactly. I wanted to train with everybody. I wanted to know everybody in the field, and I knew they all had their own their own contributions to make to it. So I had to be wherever the action was going to be. In fact, subsequent to that, I was lucky enough to do some work with John Grinder for a little while, just logistics for some trainings that he was running, it was just a wonderful experience. But I think my experience is similar to a lot of people, because when I started out in my hypnosis class, the class itself, God bless my teacher, she's a lovely lady, and she meant well. And gave what she had to offer. By my current understanding, it really wasn't much. Mm. But when I took the class, I didn't have anything. You know what I mean? So it was a step up, and I realized at the end of my training with her that I was really good at inductions. But the truth of the matter was, and like so many hypnotists that I talk to today, I didn't have very many tools for what to do subsequent to establishing a trance in a client. And I was like, what am I going to do? So as I started reading these NLP books and the techniques that they offered, I was like, here's magic. You know, here are some things that really work and really integrated well into hypnosis. Originally, my thought was that these are just things that I can add on to doing hypnosis.
And that was a big insight for me, was because I was, like you, really good at getting people to go into a trance, at, you know, inducing those states conversationally or more directedly. I could do that. But then once I had someone in a trance, what do? And so I, you know, talk to them in a roundabout way and maybe offer some direct suggestions and that sort of thing. But the idea of, hey, use the NLP techniques once they're in a trance. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah, yeah. Brings more of the client into the interaction, I think.
Mm.